With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I rise today in strong support of H.R. 7567, the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2026.
Debate on the 2026 Farm Bill began in the House with Representative Brad Finstrad from Minnesota, but quickly countering Massachusetts Representative Jim McGovern.
How dare you bring a bill to the floor that makes hunger worse in this country? How dare you bring a bill to the floor that doesn't help regular farmers? How dare you bring a bill to the floor that is filled with all these giveaways to special
interests?
Gentlemen,
we'll suspend.
Vote no.
Highlights from the debate of the 2026 Farm Bill on the House floor, which strangely began Wednesday night after 10 o'clock. More attention is shifting towards ways to build domestic ag demand as export competition intensifies and low crop prices continue to pressure farm income. An analysis from the Ag and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M says U.S. may need stronger domestic demand tools alongside trade policy if producers are going to improve returns over the long term. Report notes the U.S. ag trade deficit has climbed above $100 billion over the last 4 years. Also says some in ag are increasingly questioning whether exports alone can pull row crop markets out of the current low-price environment. Now, Texas A&M points to several ways in which Washington already supports domestic demand, including food aid purchases, Buy American rules, and the renewable fuel standard. Report says those policies show the federal government can influence both direct purchases and private sector buying incentives. Also highlights newer proposals now gaining traction. One would create a tax credit for food and beverage manufacturers that source raw commodities from U.S. farmers. Another, a tax credit tied to the use of U.S.-grown cotton in clothing. Well, U.S. ethanol production did slow in the latest reporting week while inventories tightened and exports jumped sharply. New numbers point to a market that's still moving product but with less production support than earlier in the month. According to the Energy Information Administration, ethanol production for the week ending April 24th fell 3% to just over 1 million barrels per day. It's the lowest weekly output since January and 3% below the same week last year. U.S. red meat production moved lower last year, and beef was the main reason. Dr. Josh Maples at Mississippi State University said total red meat output fell about 2% from 2024, with beef production down 3.6%, pork down almost 1%. And again, the major story, the final floor action on the farm bill made clear which issues the House was willing to embrace and which it rejected. House passed that Farm, Food, and National Security Act, 224-200. After 2 days of debate and a final round of amendment fights that reshaped the bill.
On this vote, the yeas are 224, the nays are 200. The bill is passed. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I'm pleased to stand here today to offer my enthusiastic support for the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2026.
Former chairman of the House Ag Committee, Oklahoma farmer Frank Lucas.
As the former chairman of this committee, I have been down this road before. And while passing a comprehensive farm bill is never easy, the rewards can be seen in tangible ways in every facet of our communities. They can be seen not just on the farms, but in the grocery stores, the universities, the fire stations, the community facilities, and rural hospitals across this great nation. To my colleagues who will cast their vote tomorrow, whether you represent a top agricultural district, small town, a booming metropolis, the policies in this bill will affect you. This bill will ensure that American farmers can continue to raise the food and fiber that ultimately finds its way into your home, and will ensure that the next generation can continue that legacy. I urge my colleagues, vote yes with me on final passage.
Jim McGovern is a representative from Massachusetts.
You guys are bringing this farm bill to the floor 3 years late, in the middle of the night. It's prime time in Guam, for God's sake. Republicans spent the whole day fighting with each other. You know what most Americans spent doing today? Working, going to school, taking care of their kids, living their lives, wondering, praying if this institution might give a damn about their hopes and dreams, their concerns and fears. And what Republicans have shown time and time again is that they don't care. If they did, they would not be bringing this farm bill to the floor, because this bill makes hunger worse. It means more kids go to bed without food. More seniors end up in the ER after taking pills on an empty stomach. More parents put groceries back on the shelf. Hunger is a political condition. It's the result of decisions made in this chamber. Republicans decided in their big ugly bill to make hunger worse. And with this farm bill, they are deciding to keep it worse by locking in massive cuts to food assistance.
Current chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson.
There are no snap cuts. The amount of money that families get is the same as what they got under the Biden administration. Now, we increased accountability. If you're here illegally, you're not eligible, because this is something that's really meant for citizens. And we've done enhancements to the SNAP program. We're going after criminals within this farm bill, looking at increasing technology with the EBT cards to prevent misuse of it, enhancements, dairy incentives, adding protein incentives with SNAP. This is a great bill. This is a bill for today. This is a bill also for tomorrow. And I'm proud of the bipartisan work went into it. I'm a little disgusted, actually, by the politics that have come into this. You know, folks that are running for higher office or they're looking to November. I don't look to the November. I look every day to how we can help our farm families, our ranch families, forestry families, and the everyday Americans who pick up the tools of agriculture, be it a knife, fork, or spoon.
But McGovern said, there's so much more.
362 amendments were offered to this farm bill by Republicans and Democrats. 305 of those amendments were blocked. They were blocked. 80% of bipartisan amendments were blocked. 92% of Democratic amendments were blocked. And 70% of Republican amendments were blocked.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The effects and the impact of climate change are real.
Interesting exchange between Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro and the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, in an appropriation subcommittee hearing.
You probably did see the report on Antarctica and the glaciers and melting and all this. It was an extraordinary documentary over this past weekend. This is an administration that is hell-bent, in my view, on ignoring science. Just 2 weeks ago, you reportedly attended a climate deniers conference. And in your remarks, you said, quote, "For those who wanted to criticize my appearance here before this group, it really shows the desperation of just how many walls have collapsed of this last line of defense," end quote. In Connecticut, we have seen increasing heat waves, extreme precipitation, devastating floods, impacting everything, farming, school closures, damaging homes and businesses. Climate change is harming our health and our environment, but is also harming Americans financially. This administration, however, is running the playbook on making the problem worse, focusing on policies that are handouts to the fossil fuel companies, like reversing the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, rolling back fuel emission standards for motor vehicles, and reducing methane leak monitoring requirements. The budget proposal reads like a climate change deniers manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case. You familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want
me
to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
to
tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second. And wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me
questions.
You're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny.
I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no. What you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your Supreme
you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science? Now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh my God! No, you don't fund
because
science.
You don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine
are
is. Your message
deniers.
To our folks at the EPA is that you wanted to fund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
A bill to provide for the reform and continuation of agriculture and other programs of the Department of Agriculture through fiscal year 2031 and for other purposes.
House finally taking up the Farm Bill. Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson.
It is more evident than ever that rural America needs a new farm bill now, not next year or next Congress. Producers operating under the third consecutive farm bill extension, and the simple truth is the policies of 2018 are no match for the challenges of 2026. It's time to get this critical legislative done. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, because it's important. This bill was not written in Congress. It was written out in the fields and pastures of our great nation while the Agriculture Committee held over 150 listening sessions. We went to farmers and ranchers and rural communities, and we asked them what they needed from Congress. Every provision in this bill is directly informed by what we learned in these listening sessions. Today, you will hear some opposing comments made that this is a partisan bill, and even more on what's not in the bill. And I'd like to remind everyone of the facts. This bill is filled with good policy that is also overwhelmingly bipartisan. Upon introduction, the Farm, Food, and National Security Act included or drew upon 150 bipartisan marker bills. During the committee's 22-hour markup, over 100 amendments were offered and debated, with 46 adopted, split evenly between Republicans and Democrats. It passed the committee with strong bipartisan support. It also enjoys the endorsement of over 500 agriculture stakeholder groups. I'm asking Congress to join the hardworking men and women who feed, fuel, and clothe our country in supporting this farm bill. Now is not the time to turn our backs on rural America.
The ranking member of the House Ag Committee for Minnesota, Angie Craig.
This so-called skinny farm bill in front of us today does nothing to stop these losses or to help offset the $54 billion in losses farmers have had to absorb. Worse yet, it doesn't fix any of the underlying policy choices by Republicans and this administration that caused the problems in the first place. It turns a blind eye to the farmers calling for emergency economic assistance so they can afford to keep planting. It locks in the $187 billion cut to food assistance that Republicans made in the big, ugly bill, putting more pressure on struggling Americans at a time when the cost of groceries and health care continues to grow. That's what the Farm Bill doesn't do. It doesn't lower cost. It doesn't help save one family from farm bankruptcy, which is up nearly 50% since this administration took office. So what does this so-called bill attempt to do? Protect the world's largest pesticide companies from lawsuits, cut farm conservation programs by $1 billion, and overturn the will of voters in states nationwide that set specific animal welfare and food standards for themselves. Putting the harmful policies aside, the political calculus on this should be easy. Do we want to lower costs for farmers, working people, or do we want to protect pesticide companies that lock in cuts to food assistance at a time when grocery prices are spiking? I urge my colleagues to reject this version of the Farm Bill and force Republicans back to the table to negotiate a true bipartisan bill that prioritizes the cost of living crisis in this country.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I wanted to talk about mercury. You know that mercury is a very dangerous pollutant. It leads to cognitive challenges for kids their entire lives.
At a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on the EPA, Josh Harder from California questioning the administrator, Lee Zeldin.
One of the decisions that the EPA made under your leadership was to repeal higher mercury and air toxic standards. Tell me a little bit about why you did that, and specifically why you left out the health impacts in that analysis.
So you're referring to the 2024 mercury and air toxic standards. We kept in place the strict 2012 mercury and air toxic standards that were working. There was a targeted effort towards the end of the Biden administration through a number of rules to try to tell coal miners that they should learn to code and to try to make coal plants across this country shut down. Steam Electric ELG, Coal Combustion Residual, Clean Power Plan 2.0, the 2024 mercury and air toxic standards collectively, there were coal plants all across the entire country that were targeted for extinction because of it, and now they're able to stay open.
Why did your analysis of the impacts of this repeal not include the health impacts to the populations that are going to bear this increased mercury pollution?
Oh, we absolutely consider the health impacts of mercury.
There was no quantified health impact in that analysis. Am I mistaken?
We absolutely value the impact. The whole reason why we have mercury and air toxic standards in the first place is because of the health impacts of mercury and air toxic standards. So,
but in the repeal, how much do you think it's actually going to – what are the health harms of this repeal? You think doubling the amount of mercury pollution in the air is going to lead to zero health harms?
Where did you get doubling from?
That's the impact of the repeal.
Where did you get it from? The
from
doubling.
2024 to the 2012 standards. You mentioned that you're going back to the 2012 standards.
Where's your math from? Here we go.
The standards from 2024 are 70% higher than the standards from 2012.
So it is your position, as I sit here today, we're about to do this because you're going to regret it. We're about to do this where your position is that we are doubling the amount of mercury.
That you are allowing 70% higher mercury standards.
Yeah. No. So I'm allowing 70%. Now you're saying 70%.
Repeal the standard that had 70% stricter standards, the 2024 standard, than the 2012 standard.
So the nationwide
tons. Do you not understand the math behind this? I'm confused.
Here we go. The nationwide tons of mercury emissions from coal plants, if the MATS 2024 was still in place from 2028 to 2037, was 33.2. The nationwide tons of mercury emissions from coal plants if mercury and air toxic standards was repealed from 2028 to 2037 is 39.3 at most. That's assuming that no coal plant at all will voluntarily take any action whatsoever to install any control devices. So at most, the math ends up being 15.5 to 18.3%, which is significantly less than double.
The estimates that I've seen are as much as 1,500 additional pounds of mercury in the air.
Rip it up. Have your dog pee on it. It's just not accurate.
My point is
when do you – it's important for your question and your math. When did the 2024 mercury and air toxic standards go into effect?
My point.
No, this is really important.
Standard was successful.
When did the 2024 standards go into effect?
To lead more.
Did they go into effect yet?
Look, the point here is the amount.
Are you aware that the 2024 mercury and air toxic standards didn't even go into effect yet?
You are being so combative.
So you don't know that it didn't go into effect yet. You're making up a number of 1,500 that's not accurate. I'm asking where your source is. My source is coming from career staffers. Yours is coming from some mysterious people in the community.
The folks that are going to be harmed by your decision. I yield back, sir. I'm not
these mysterious people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Department of Commerce continues to work around the clock to implement President Trump's America First trade policy.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Under Section 232, the Commerce Department is taking action on steel, aluminum, copper, pharmaceuticals, autos, semiconductors, and investigating other sectors to protect, reshore, and revive manufacturing. These actions have led to multi-billion dollar commitments to reshore steel and aluminum manufacturing and restore American excellence in critical industries. In the first year of his second term, President Trump has dramatically reduced the trade deficit, lowering imports and increasing exports. Exports went to $3.4 trillion, which is a 6% increase from 2024. And in 2025, the trade deficit was the lowest we've seen in 16 years. I'm proud of the role I played in negotiating our most important trade agreement, including the largest deal ever done, which was our trade deal and investment deal with the European Union. BIS is working hand in hand with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've arranged historic agreements to lower drug prices for American consumers, negotiating most favored nation deals, and ensuring Americans pay the lowest prices for innovative medicines. As a result of these deals, additionally, we have secured over $400 billion in commitments to reshore pharmaceuticals and manufacturing in America, those key pharmaceuticals. The budget includes a $215 million increase to BIS above the 2026 enacted level, which supports the hiring of hundreds of new special agent law enforcement officials to address the theft of American technological leadership by bad actors. These officers are critical to protecting and defending America's innovation. In ITA, we are driving record foreign direct investment, cracking down on harmful foreign trade practices, and supporting our 1.3 million American jobs with export and investment deals. In 2025, ITA helped Boeing, Wabtec, and other major American companies secure a record $244 billion in contracts with foreign public buyers. This exceeds the $17 billion that the Biden administration did in its first year. The budget includes a $10 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for trade enforcement in ITA and $100 million for the United States Investment Accelerator. The budget slashes unnecessary wasteful spending at NIST and other groups and eliminates the manufacturing extension partnership, which I'm sure we will talk about. At the USPTO, we are rapidly modernizing and leveraging technology to cut classification prep dramatically. We want to get rid of the massive backlog that we had and do a much better job. And finally, we have launched a new era of modernization of NOAA, where we're in the process of transferring the agency's IT system from a decades-old hardwired technology to the modern distributed cloud. This update will improve our forecasting capabilities, transform the way our forecasters do their jobs, and will make Americans safer. The budget also includes a $135 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for NOAA shipbuilding and our improvement of unmanned systems programs. For far too long, our nation was mired in status quo, leaving American consumers and producers alike with unfair, poorly implemented trade deals, outsourced jobs, and paltry investments that failed to meet our country's potential. President Trump is committed to ushering in a golden age of domestic commerce and bringing jobs back to the United States, and that's exactly what he's done in his first 15 months of this administration. I look forward to working with you as the department continues to spur economic growth and secure unprecedented prosperity for the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.